Good morning.
Okay, it's another amazing morning, which I don't know from where to start. Thank you, Carl, for that. Has been 3 months battling this one, big time, in my van, going everywhere. But it's a great place to be. Try to share exactly what the Lord wants to say to us this morning is a little bit of a challenge. But I trust the Lord and the Holy Spirit will really speak to us as required from Him to us. I just want to do a little recap. And I want you to wake up, concentrate, focus, because we are going to build it up to something we need to get into at the end. Excuse my teaching hat is put on. Therefore, you have to answer me when I ask questions. Yes, as we do every time. Right. There's few facts you need to remember. And you need to keep it in your heart because it's a great base to start from. Let's go back to Hebrews 10, verse 10. And by that well, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Listen to this. It is once for all. Meaning what? Meaning I am have a new status. I am forgiven. I am righteous. And I am holy. Get this in your head. Three things, three facts. I am forgiven, I am righteous, I am holy. I cannot tell Darren you are not an architect. He earned it. He earned it. This is his status. This is what he do. This is his job. This is his title. Today, because Jesus done it once for all, your status is you are forgiven, you are righteous, and you are holy. And nobody can take that away from you. You get that one? This one, foundation. Let's go for the second one. That's why I didn't like the Street Bible for, forgive me, because he changed a word from a covenant to contract, which I don't really like. If I have a contract with someone, contract, it means it can expire, have a certain time, it can be broken any time, it can be done and finished with. But covenant is an eternal, is life. It's something life. Carl described something when he welcomed our new members. He said, it's a covenant. When you get married, they announce, and Ahmed and Jenny become one. Okay, we are still two bodies. But we become one. As a covenant happened, it means in the spirit we become one. In Egypt, when we eat together, to make a covenant, we have to meet to eat from the same plate, the same piece of bread. This is the way they do covenant. It wasn't written. It was by this. And once you've done the covenant, you swap that life together. You become one. And good news for you, dear friends, or dear brother and sister, we are one because we share this today. One together and one with Him. This fact number two. Therefore, when I said I have a covenant, is it eternal? But the covenant, he said, I will put my laws in their heart and I will write it in their mind. There's something different here. I will write my laws in their, I'll put my laws in their heart to give them life. I will write it in their mind to enable us to give life to others. What does that mean? I gain the same created word he owned, he gave it to me to be able to be created and give creation and give life to others. Therefore, covenant is not just a word. Covenant, it's a life. Therefore, you are not just a normal, regular person going, waking up in the morning, going to your work, get tired, come back home, and you are tired again, and you do the same everything. You are a different person because you have a covenant with the Most High. Therefore, whoever touch you or in get in contact with you, he is gain this life because of you. Status one, you are forgiven, righteous, holy. Second one is you are in covenant with him and with one another. And you are bringing that life to people. You are not just have this covenant. Okay, let's move on. Another fact, because this is not the sermon yet. Therefore, brother and sister, we have a confidence to enter the Most High, the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Listen to this, verse 20. It's amazing. By a new and living way. When I heard that word, living way, it stopped me big time. When you have a road to go somewhere, it's a road. It will never be described a life road. It never be described, oh, I am walking on a life road. It doesn't make any sense. But what he said here, and the word of the Lord, the Holy Spirit doesn't make mistakes when he's writing something out. Is that, you get that in your head, yes? Meaning, when I said I have a new and living way, it means you are talking about totally different dimension, which is contained covenant. Is a life covenant. Therefore, if I get that in my head, I am not talking about a physical, material way of dealing with God. I am talking about my inner man, the spirit, with him. This is what I mean. What that means is, I need to get this one communicated with him. Paul said something amazing in Romans 8. Can you remember it? There is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. Because what? The law of the Spirit, he changed it. Get me out of this old law of Moses. And how he described it? He described it in an amazing word again. It's called the law of the Spirit. It's a life. It's not a command. It's not a law. It's not, if you cannot do it, you will be break. It's not that. You are connecting life to him. You get that one? Three facts. You remember them? Come on. First one, you are forgiven, righteous, holy. Last one, second one is you have a covenant with him. Third one is there is a living way. And this living way done something incredibly amazing, that this curtain has been broken to see the whole of holies. Right. Let me describe something to you. I'm a Middle Eastern. I'm an Egyptian. My brain works this way. Imagine this. The priest, the high priest, one day a year, he gets into the Holy of Holy. Leviticus 16 and 17, if you want to read a little bit on that one. And he gets in and do his service and do everything. And come back, I imagine this in my head. He's coming back to talk to his people about the majestic and significant and holy place he walked into. God spoke to him through a cloud, through a fire, through something inside. God revealed himself somehow. And he tried in his best to communicate that with people. And he can say anything because nobody say anything, see anything except him. But he tried to describe the amazing picture inside this holy, holy place. But what happened on the cross that this curtain has been broken? And everybody can be able to see what is going on. Right, that brings us to the sermon now. What happening here? That is exactly the same picture of Moses having few sheep going around and a burning bush. He saw that million times every day. When it gets too hot in the desert, the bush gets into fire, and after that it will go and be fine and everything is great. But that bush is just consuming fire and it doesn't burn. It doesn't make any sense. But what he said, the Bible talks about something very interesting. He said, let me just get there to have a look. And this is what, verse 22, let's draw near to have a look. Sorry, Carla, I will change it slightly. When I draw near, what happened when I draw near? When I come to that point of coming to the Holy of Holy, what happened? When I come, I agree, the rest of the verse is, let's draw near with a pure heart and out of guilt conscious and da-da-da-da, all this lovely, which is what we talk in the beginning. But when I draw near, when I step into this place, what will happen? Sorry again? Coming to this one. Right. What happened? Happened something very important. God revealed himself. That's correct. But when I walk in, when Moses walked in, what happened? He decided to go in. Once he decided to go in, the Bible said, this is a good one. The Bible said, you are coming to the mountain of God. Therefore, take your shoes off. Because you are in a holy place. And when I take my shoes off, because I'm in a holy place, the invitation has become different. I enter that place of holiness. I decide to take, the one is protecting my legs from this hot desert sand, and I stand in that holy place. Maybe looking vulnerable in so many ways, but I'm coming to that holy place. But in that holy place, God will reveal himself. Come to the mountain of God. When you come to that place, God will reveal himself. But he revealed himself on something very important. He said, I am who I am. He couldn't describe himself with anything else. In the book of Hebrew, he said something when he has this covenant with Abraham. He couldn't find anything to swear of. He swear of himself. I am who I am. You are meeting with that I am who I am. But in the New Testament, it's something even more deeper. You are meeting with the heart of the Father. When Jesus opened the curtain, which is his body, he revealed the heart of the Father. You will come one if you remain in me and I remain in him. He is bringing that unity, that covenant to the Father. God is revealing, I am who I am, revealing himself to us. Number two, when you are in that mountain, in the holy place, you are taking a very, very clear directions from him. He tells Moses, I want to go to Egypt and do this and this and this, and the Pharaoh will be hard-hearted. Da, da, da. He tells him everything. Clear. You get clear direction. In his presence, you get clear direction. In his presence, you understand who he is. And you understand what he is communicating you with. That is in his presence. In his presence, you will see things are much more clearer than before. I will say something about me. A few times, I tell Jenny, so confused, I cannot hear God. I cannot do this. I don't understand. When God speaks, all this word after word after word after word of excuses. But last week, the Lord said, are you in my presence? Because in my presence is clear. The problem is not, he doesn't speak. The problem, where I am. I am in the right place on the mountain of God, or I'm out. Million times I told Jenny, I am so confused. I don't understand what is going on. I have the right to be confused. Yeah, that's great. I'm looking for an answer. There's one place for an answer. His presence. Even, listen to this very carefully. Even when he say, you don't need to know now, he answered. There is a place, the Bible somewhere, you look at it. You will not understand now, you will understand later. I don't have to understand, but he said it. You don't need to understand now, understand later. But he still speak. That makes sense? Therefore, if you are in that place, I will invite you to his presence. If you are in that place of like, I'm not sure what is going on, I invite you to his presence. Therefore, in his presence, I know who he is. I meet with the Father heart of God. He revealed himself to me. In his presence, he gives clear direction. In his presence, listen to this. And listen to this. Carefully, in his presence, you practice your own miracles and your powers. He told Moses. Moses said, how I will know? How they will know that you send me? He said, okay, put your hand in. Put his hand in. Get it out. It's become liberate. Put it back in. It's become fine. Drop this stake there. It's become a snake. Take it back. It's become a stick again. He didn't do this stuff in front of the Pharaoh in Egypt. He done it where? On the mountain. In his presence. He practiced well. And after that, in front of Pharaoh, I know exactly what I'm doing. I can do this. When I done a bathroom first time ever, I done it in my house. And when I go to people to do a bathroom, I'm fitted, I can show off, I know what I'm doing. Because I done it in my house first. I done all the mistakes in my house. It leaked and gone horrible and don't know what is going on. But when I go to people's house, I know exactly what I'm doing. And the point is, in his presence, you practice. This workshops you do is not just for the fun of it, I think. It's your practice. And when you are going to work, you already practice hearing God's voice for somebody in the church. Oh, I can hear God's voice for somebody at work. And I can go and tell them. You practice. You put your hand over Carl and pray for headaches and whatever. And get healed. I can go to work and pray for somebody else and get healed. I know exactly what I'm doing. I practice. I've done my job. Therefore, in his presence, you are not discovering, you are working with what the Father is good at. And you become good like him. You become the apprentice. But out there, you are the boss. Does that make sense? When Natalie was little, she wanted to ride the bike. Okay, let's work with that one. And put her on the bike and work and work and work until we are getting there in a very nice, safe place. Now, go to school with your bike. It's fine. The reason is because she practiced in a safe place. Now she can face cars and lorries. Making sense? Yes? In the presence, where in that mountain of God, you will do this. Last one. In the presence, which is that connect us to verse 24th and 25th, that we talk with one another, preach and encourage. Because the day of the Lord is near. What happened with Aaron and Moses? The Lord told Moses in the beginning, and Aaron will come up to see you and his heart will be full of joy. Yeah? Where? Not in Egypt. The Bible said again, and Aaron and Moses met on the mountain of God again. Therefore, I met with my brother and sister in the mountain, in the presence of God. And when I am in unity with them, I'll be to go out to Egypt to the Pharaoh and talk. This is what happened when I draw near. What happened when I draw near, when I come to that presence with my brother and sister, what happened? I would be able to face Eli. Spiritually. That making sense? Therefore, I meet, not in these four walls, I meet in that presence of God with my brother and sister, draw near together into the heart of God to listen together and be able to do it. The invitation of Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, let's draw near to that presence. You are coming to a place where you and your brother and sister, very close to his heart, to listen and know and learn together how to do it together. That's why it's very important to understand that place. The heart of the Father, this is what I'm going to finish with. The heart of the Father in the Old Testament, not in the New Testament. It's exactly in the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy 30:20, a very important verse. Love your God and listen to him. Because he is your, listen to this, life. When I draw near, loving him, running to him, listening to him, because he is my life. That covenant of life. When you draw near, it is a covenant. When you draw near, it's a place where I will get in touch with him. When Jesus was talking in John 15 about the vine and being a branch, you are already in. Paul described it for the Gentiles, said, you are that branch, he put you in that olive tree and put you in. You become part of it. You are not out of it. You become part of the main tree. Therefore, you have the life of that tree. You have that life of the vine. That's why he described very, very early in the Old Testament. If you love the Lord and listen to him, he is your life. The invitation is, today is, simply is, take your shoes off and get into his presence. Nothing else. Come simply, take your shoes off at that time of worship and said, I am coming to you, to run to you. I want a new revelation about who you are. I want to practice with my brother and sister. I want to love them as you love me. We shared that one early. It's not just to remember what Jesus done on the cross. It's not the point. It's me and you sharing his body and his covenant to us to become one in him. To have that real covenant between each other. Simply is, come to this mountain of God. Draw near to this presence. Let's stand up together. And continue on the worship. And you can just take it literally. Take your shoes off and say, okay, I am on today for you, Lord. Amen.